You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The name America was drawn from the first name of the Italian explorer Amerigo Vespucci, who died in 1512. But the first inhabitants of what we now call North America called it Turtle Island. A new video game called Thunderbird Strike lets players protect Turtle Island from the oil industry. The game's creator is Elizabeth LaPonce. She's an assistant professor of media and information, as well as writing rhetoric and American cultures at Michigan State University. And you could recall, we spoke with her in late 2016 about her app, Honoring Water, which teaches users Anishinaabe songs about water. Anishinaabe is the name used by Native tribes, including the Odawa, Ojibwe, Potawatomi, and Algonquin peoples. Now, in this new video game, Elizabeth again draws upon her Native American heritage. Elizabeth LaPonce, welcome back.
Thank you, Miigwech, for having me.
What is the premise, Elizabeth, behind Thunderbird Strike?
In Thunderbird Strike, you play as a thunderbird, and you are striking lightning down at, optionally, mining company buildings and the big giant mining trucks, as well as at the bones of caribou, wolves, and buffalo to bring them back to life, and of people to activate them.
What's the importance of the Thunderbird, the significance of the Thunderbird to Native American people?
Well, there are many different stories. The stories that are reflected in Thunderbird Strike come from storytellers like Isaac Murdoch, with interpretations by artists like Christy Belcourt, and then also the way that I was raised and the teachings I received from my mother and from my aunties, that thunderbirds really are a form of storms, that they do have genuine forms as well, and stories that they walk among us again. And this is seen very clearly in the work of Isaac Murdoch and Thunderbird Woman, who appears in the game during one of the cutscenes. So the idea is that thunderbirds are here to protect us and the lands and the waters. And in the game, you can choose what you strike your lightning at, and you gain either restoration points or destruction points for a total high score.
Okay. And where is the Thunderbird flying from? From where to where?
So the Thunderbird is flying from the tar sands in Alberta all the way to the Mackinac Bridge, where Line 5 is, underneath in the waters. So that's the trajectory. And the reason why the game is that pathway, you actually fly from right to left rather than from left to right, which is the usual convention in games. You know, you see that a lot in game design. Instead, you're actually looking at the world through an Anishinaabe lens. And so we look from, at least I'm from Bawating, so we look from the point of the Great Lakes looking south towards Michigan, right? And so from that perspective, then the tar sands journey all the way to the Great Lakes would be right to left flight. So that's what you're doing in the game.
What age range do you feel that you've designed this game for?
It's definitely for ages 10 and over. I mean, this is something where parents can make their own choice about who is playing it, but it falls under the 10 and older age range as far as like the apps are considered, right? You know, on Apple Store and on Google Play.
You mentioned Line 5, Enbridge's Line 5, and these, of course, are the dual pipelines running under the Straits of Mackinac. We've talked lots about Line 5 here on Stateside. How is Line 5 portrayed in the game?
It's portrayed as a pipeline snake boss in the final battle scene. You can strike lightning at it, but it will eventually deconstruct on its own as well, which is portraying the messages from our stories that inevitably a spill is very highly likely to happen underneath the water. It's not so much a matter of if the damage is going to be done, but more so, you know, what can be done now to prevent more damage from happening, and what can we do to restore the lands and the waters that have been affected, which is why, you know, you can also bring animals back to life in the game.
And what does that do?
So that gives you restoration points, and they come back to life and they fill the scene then. Caribou are in there because they're projected to become extinct because of the activity that's happening in the tar sands. Buffalo are there because they're also in the tar sands and very integral to the well-being of indigenous communities just throughout the generations. And wolves are there because there have been a lot of issues at oil camps where wolves are left with very little food sources around the camps. And so they come towards camps for food sources, and effectively workers are told that they're supposed to shoot the wolves. And so, you know, this kind of activity is all happening around it. And so the game is meant to reflect, you know, what would happen if instead we're focusing on the well-being of and the lives of these animals.
You received a grant from the state of Minnesota through the Arrowhead Regional Arts Council. One state senator in Minnesota described your game, I'm quoting here, as an eco-terrorist version of Angry Birds. And earlier this month, there was an editorial in the Lansing State Journal by the director of Consumer Energy Alliance Midwest. And he questioned the fact that a faculty member of Michigan's largest university has developed a game that essentially advocates for the destruction of energy pipelines. How do you respond to these criticisms?
To clarify, there was grant funding from Minnesota, which did go towards the game. That's well reflected. And I was audited as a part of this process, which was a fun experience. But because I am a very honest and forthright person, and I do what I say I'm going to do and follow through, everything checked out, because ultimately that attempt on the part of that Minnesota senator was to silence me, and eventually was to go after the tax-funded portion of that grant, which, you know, ultimately I did exactly what I said I was going to do, and the Arts Council stood behind me, as did many other people in support of the game. And then, you know, again, I think what's interesting about this is that there is a community of oil lobbyists who continuously come back to trying to connect the game to Michigan State University because of my affiliation. The game had started a couple of years before I even came here and was a part of my work as I transitioned into Michigan State University. And so I went through the whole process of clarifying that all of the art assets and code and everything from the game is not on MSU-owned equipment. You know, no resources were used from MSU towards the game. It does have a thank you for MSU because I am faculty here, you know, and so that's really what happened, was there was a thank you to Michigan State University, and then these really vast and far-reaching attempts to portray MSU as supporting something that it shouldn't have in lieu of trying to shut down the game. I mean, their ultimate goal is to eradicate my voice, is to have the game removed from stores, removed from any kind of distribution services. Like, they want me silenced. And thankfully, the game is what it is. It's a 2D side scroller. A lot of people have described it as cute or adorable. And anyone who has actually played the game, because notably everyone who has chosen to speak up and publish words against me about this particular game have not actually played the game.
Okay.
And so that's an important, you know, factor to note there. You know, so I think that the game stays up. Freedom of speech is vital. I am doing my best to pass on stories from my communities and reflect our concerns through our worldview. And I hope that people will continue to play the game and talk about the game and understand what it's all about.
Why use simulations of violence in the game? I mean, if it's not about destroying the pipelines, what is it about?
Well, I mean, when you strike the lightning at the pipelines, they disappear. And so in our stories, we talk about how we need alternate systems. You know, we cannot continue, like physically, we cannot continue to remove oil from the earth because it is causing shifts in the land, which are destructive. Oil spills also cause a great deal of harm. And so really, I don't feel that the game does reflect or advocate violence because, you know, I mean, it's an act of disappearing, right? The idea is that it should discontinue itself. That's the message of the game. And the message being that, you know, if this structure does not disappear, it will eventually deconstruct on its own if it's not maintained. And that's been a huge part of the issue, especially with Enbridge, is that, you know, there were physical issues with the pipelines that were not being addressed and have not been addressed. And so the hope there is to draw some attention to that and ensure that we can more immediately get structures in place to protect the waters in the Great Lakes across Minnesota and, of course, all through Saskatchewan and Alberta as well, just all along the way of Turtle Island. beyond.
So if we don't get our energy needs met through these pipelines transporting oil or natural gas, what do you view as an acceptable alternative approach to these pipelines? I mean, the solution, if you will.
Right. Interestingly, Batchewana First Nation has chosen to diversify their energy sources. So they have both wind and solar power. My grandfather, Lou Leponsky, speaks about this as well, how we really need to not focus on one energy source and put everything into one industry, but we need to diversify our industry resources and to look to alternate pathways. And so certainly those are viable pathways with balance, everything in balance.
What do you hope people will learn about the Anishinaabe people and culture through this game, through Thunderbird Strikes?
I hope that they will look at the stories and look at the art and really reflect on what the meaning is for them.
And it's available for people to be able to play. It's a simple game, isn't it, compared to many of the games out there. Was that a deliberate choice?
Absolutely. It can be played within maybe 10 to 15 minutes. It's really intended to be a game which can be replayed, actually, because it's a high score game. So you can play it over and over again. And we actually have soon there will be winners announced for the high score contest, which is being run by a podcast network called A Tribe Called Geek. Whoever wins it, it will receive custom Thunderbird art prints that I'll be working on for them, and they get to choose the colors and all of that. So that'll be a part of this process. But it's available on Android phones and on tablets, on iPhone, iPad, and then also for PC. And it's all free. The intention is for it to be a free game, which can be played by anyone who is interested.
Elizabeth Leponsky, who is an assistant professor of media and information and writing rhetoric and American cultures at Michigan State University, and the creator and the designer and the writer of the new video game Thunderbird Strike. Thanks so much for speaking with us, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Miigwech.